true?
Yes.
It was interesting this morning when we were talking about the introductions. I probably have said this before, but I was preaching here one day when Brother Leon was in charge. And Brother Leon, they gave him the first song, and he got up and introduced me as the speaker. There was no prayer, no second song. I thought, oh my, what am I going to do? Because I'm not a very long-winded speaker anyway. And there, I intended for the prayer to take up at least 5 minutes, and the song to take up another 3 or 4 minutes, and then the introduction. Well, I had none of that. But lately I've become a little bit longer-winded speaker. The other night we had a very good meeting. We have prayer meeting every other week and then a study class. And we studied a couple of revealments that had come. And that kind of spurred on this message this morning. My message is entitled, Be Prepared. Many years ago, I was a Boy Scout. And in Boy Scouts, we had a motto, which was, Be Prepared. We are told in the book of Alma 34, 32 through 34. Alma 34, 32 through 34. It states like this, For behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as I have said unto you before, as ye have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech you that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. For after this day of life, which is given to us to prepare for eternity, behold, if we do not improve our time while in this life, then cometh the night of darkness, wherein there can no light be performed. Yea, I say, when you are brought to that awful crisis, that I will repent, that I will return to my God. Nay, ye cannot say this. For the same spirit which doth possess your bodies at the time that ye go out of this life, the same spirit will have power to possess your bodies in the eternal world. That's a frightening statement. Oh, I must have transposed something. But anyway, it's in the Book of Mormon. And it's a very important lesson for us to learn that we have to repent. In fact, the ministry have been told years ago that we must preach repentance to this generation of people. And that was back in Joseph Smith's time, and it's still part of our message is to go and preach repentance to this generation. I will find where I was at and correct it. But I would like to give unto you some hope. And that is, it's in the 19th chapter of the book of Alma. And it says, "It has been made known unto me by an angel that the spirits of all men, as soon as they depart from this mortal body, yea, the spirits of all men, whether they be good or evil, are taken home to that God who gave them life. And then shall it come to pass that the spirits of those who are righteous are received into a state of happiness, which is called paradise, a state of rest, a state of peace, where they can rest from all their troubles, from all their care and sorrow." So, if we have a portion of the Spirit of the Lord, we will be able to return to God and go into that paradise that He has prepared for us. We have heard in the last few months that we are in troublesome times, and truly we are in troublesome times. In fact, I feel that we're close to the end. And let us look what the scriptures say in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting with the fourth verse. And it goes to the 35th verse, but I'm not going to read all that. But I will read those parts that I feel is important for us to pick up at this time. "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." Are we hearing of wars and rumors of wars in today's news? Yeah, it seems like it. It sounds like that we could be involved in another war against the North Koreans. "And nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. And then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." And I hope that we will be able to stand up and be on the side of the Lord at that time. I hope that I have the intestinal fortitude to be able to say, I stand on the side of Jesus. I'm a Christian. I believe in the Church of Christ. And go ahead and slay me. You know, many years ago, they had a shooting at Columbine High School. And the two guys went around killing people. And they had this one girl, and they pointed a gun right at her head and said, "Deny Christ or I'll kill you." And she says, "I can't deny Christ." And they killed her. Well, sometimes some of us might have to meet that end. "And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations, of the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoke of in Daniel the prophet, stand in a holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which is in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop come down and take down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him that which is in the field return back to and take his clothes. Woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck to in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And then shall be great tribulation, such as not seen, or has not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So this is the time that God has given us to prepare to go back to meet Him. I know that we, the ministry, a lot of times stand up here and we preach gloom and doom. But we're preaching what the Scriptures say. And we're trying to have those of the church go out and repent. Oh, I put in a later part here something that I really feel and I mean. And I'll probably repeat it again. Many times we speak as though you are pride and sinful people. I don't believe you are. I believe that you love the Lord and that you are doing the very best you can. We might stumble and fall, but we get right back up and dust ourselves off and get right back in there. And this is what is said in Jacob, the second chapter, 48th verse. Jacob is writing to the people, and the first two, or first part of his writing here, he talks to you. And then he turns about 11 or 12 verses over to talking to the people that are not righteous. 48th verse. Behold, I, Jacob, would speak unto you that are pure in heart. And I really believe that you're pure in heart. Look unto God with the firmness of mind, and pray unto Him with exceeding faith, that He will console you in your afflictions, and He will plead your case and send down judgment upon those who seek your destruction. O ye that are pure in heart, lift up your heads and receive the pleasing word of God and feast upon his love. For ye may, if your minds are firm forever. And I'm not going to read to those that are not pure in heart, because I believe all of you are. See if I can go back and find where I was. It also says in Matthew that when you see these things come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. We all know that the time is coming when we're going to see afflictions and different things on this earth. But we know that if we're his people, that we will be able to escape all these things. In fact, that's what it says in Luke, the 21st chapter. And there shall be signs, starting with the 25th verse. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are to come, are coming upon the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now at hand. So likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time you be charged, any time your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that the day comes upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come upon all them that dwell on the face of the earth, the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. And in the day, and in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that was called the Mount of Olives, and all the people came early in the morning to hear him in the temple, for to hear him. You know, there's beautiful scriptures in the Book of Mormon that when Christ came to visit this continent and he was preaching to the people, and the people he would send them home, and they would stay there on the ground praying. And he had compassion on them, and he said, "Is there any sick or lame or halt among you? Bring them hither, and I will heal them." And then he brought the little kids, and he stood in their midst, and he took them one by one and blessed them. And a ring of fire came down around them, which is, in my opinion, it was probably the Holy Ghost come and ministered to them. But we need to read these things. We need to know that, yes, we will have to endure many things that are unpleasant. But we can always look up to Christ. Look up and give thanks that we don't have to partake of the world. You know, in the second chapter of Timothy, 1 through 7, it talks about these times. And it says, "This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead away silly women laden with sin, led away by divers lust." And that's not only silly women, it's silly men and silly kids. "Ever learning and never being able to come to the knowledge of the truth." You know, we're told that too. We're told that Christ is the truth. And that if we look to Him, we're looking to the truth. And He will reside within us. Yes, we must repent. We must come to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be baptized by one having authority. And we must endure to the end. You know, it's so sad to see that there's people out there that we love that won't pay attention to us. We talked about our kids this morning. But I have great faith that they will remember what they were taught. When our son left the church and joined the LDS church, I was very, very upset. And Jewel had a dream. And the dream was, "Don't worry, he'll be back." And that gave me great hope. But we have kids that are pulled by the ways of the world. We have kids that get into doing things that they should never have done because we have taught them better. But maybe we haven't set that good example that we think we have. I just pray that there's going to be a time when, like Alma, that our sons and daughters might be visited by an angel. And the angel, you remember, struck Alma and the four sons of Mosiah down. And Alma, he told Alma, he says, I am sent from God. He says, feel the earth shake. I guess he caused an earthquake. Feel the earth shake. Your father prayed this. And so we have to extensively and purposely pray for our kids. I can't find it right now, but you know that there's things going on in this church. And I do believe we are the Church of Christ. I believe that God put me in the Church of Christ, took me away from the church that I was in, opened my eyes that I was able to see the problems that was there. Does that mean that everything's going to be great here? It should be. But remember, we're people. And God understands that we will stray from time to time. But we're told that there should not be divisions among us. And it says that there's not divisions as there have hitherto been over the points of my doctrine. Yes, we argue over doctrine. We argue over sin and forgiveness. I believe that the Bible tells me I believe it's the 11th chapter of Matthew. Well, no, it's not. But there is something on the 11th chapter of Matthew that I want you to read. And that's 28th through the 30th verse. This was given to me some time ago. 11th chapter of Matthew, 28th through the 30th verse. It's come unto me, all ye that are that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The part that I was given was that take my yoke upon you and learn of me. If we learn of Jesus Christ, we cannot have hardness of heart that we see today. If we come unto Christ and learn of Him, we will also become meek and lowly in heart. And that will be our rest when we are meek and lowly in heart. My brothers and sisters, I can't tell you how important I feel it is that we repent of all of our sins and we come unto Jesus Christ and we make an effort to serve Him for the remainder of our lives. We are told to help to bring forth Zion. God will bring forth Zion. But it won't be until we are pure in heart. In the 145th chapter of Doctrine and Covenants, it says Zion is no closer nor any further away than the spiritual condition of my people. You want Zion? Become spiritually prepared. You want Zion? Strive to take those things out of your life that are that is a problem. Do you want Zion? Live like you want Zion. If you want Zion, pray that God will release you from all sin. If you want Zion, expect to have Zion. There are those in the church that do not believe in Zion. And that's the footprint of this church, is Zion. There are some in this church that don't believe that there will ever be a temple built upon the temple lot. That is another footprint of this church. God caused Joseph Smith to come to Missouri, to come to Independence, and to find a spot located west of town and to place stones where that spot for the temple would be. And those stones have been uncovered and recovered that we might know of a surety that there will be a temple built there. Whether we are able to be there when it's built, I don't know. There's a lot of people within the church of Christ that feel that they will be there when Christ comes and when the temple's built. I would love to be there. I would love to be worthy to go into that temple. I would love to be worthy to be at the feet of Jesus Christ and be able to look up at Him. Because that's what we're going to do. And if you can't look up at Him, if you're in sin and you go to Jesus Christ, you won't dare look up at Him. I just pray that we would get our act in gear and follow the Scriptures as they're supposed to be followed. I told you I wasn't a very long speaker. I'm about done. In Matthew 7 and 8. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Have you ever felt that you weren't close, as close to God as you once was? Here's you and here's God. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Who has to do it? You have to do it. And I say unto you in Luke 11, 9 and 10, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. In Luke, well, I recopied myself. But think about that. Who has moved if you don't feel as close to God as you once was? It's you. And God, like we sung in that song, God is standing at that door, knocking. And you have to open it. He can't open it. Would you want to go to a party where you weren't invited? And that's what you're doing with Jesus Christ. You're inviting Him in. He won't come in on His own. You have to invite Him in. Well, brothers and sisters, I know that I've said a lot of things here. And I believe that you love the Lord. And I believe you're doing the very best you can. Yeah, you stumble and fall just like I do. The Chinese have a saying, fall down seven times, get up eight. But get right back in there. Dust yourself off and get right back into the working with the church. That's each one of our duties. And remember the Boy Scout oath. Be prepared. And that's what this time has been given to you, is to prepare for the coming days. I would ask, and again, it's just an ask, that you would attend Thursday night's prayer meeting. And if you can't attend Thursday night, this Thursday night, remember, we have sacrament service next Sunday. Come prepared. Your testimonies are important. So, come prepared. And then next, not this coming Thursday night, but the following Thursday night, we will have a study class. And hopefully we'll have more of the miracles and prophecies to go through. Thank you.
That wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. He will be found, the man that's doing wrong and won't listen, he will pay for that. But because you haven't told him that he was doing wrong, then you're going to be held accountable because you didn't warn him. You didn't tell him. You didn't speak to him. So keep that in mind. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered, closely to the next word, thy soul. In other words, the watchman, the minister that warned you, I've delivered my soul because I warned you. I told you, don't do that. And in doing that, I've delivered my soul because that's what God told me to do, is tell you to turn from your iniquity. You know, I know that we're not considered iniquitous people, but the scriptures tells us, it says that all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So no man can say, I don't sin. I think that we do. I sin. And I used to say that to an individual in the church, and he said, well, I'm sorry you say that you sin daily or say this or that. Or he says, I don't do that. Is he saying he doesn't sin? I'm sorry. I feel sorry for him. And that's his answer before God. But I do sin. I have things pop into my mind that I have to say, stop. Get out of there. And then we have to get on our knees and repent. Are you any different than I? I hope you are, but I doubt it. I doubt it. Whatever that thought might be, a thought of anger, I could go on and on, but I won't name them. You know what goes on in your mind. I don't. God does. He knows what goes on up there. But anyhow, my point is that if I don't warn you,